You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, CNN reports that President Trump has invited more Democrats than Republicans to the White House this week. We'll look at efforts at bipartisanship in the Trump era.
First, a $3 billion incentive deal for Foxconn is well on its way to clearing the state legislature. The Taiwanese tech manufacturer has pledged to bring 13,000 jobs to Wisconsin and open one or possibly two manufacturing facilities.
But our next guest says there's reason to be skeptical about Foxconn's promises and the benefits the company could bring to Wisconsin. Lawrence Tabak investigated conditions at the Foxconn plant in Indiana and reports on Foxconn plants in China and Japan as well.
Lawrence joins us now. Lawrence Tabak is a Madison-based writer. He wrote about Foxconn for BeltMag.com. Lawrence, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you wanted to get a clearer picture about what Wisconsin could realistically expect from Foxconn. So you started at the Indiana plant. Let's start with the facility. What kind of facility does Foxconn have there?
It's the largest current plant they have in the United States with about 900 employees. Although when it was being constructed, they promised 1,400, which might tell you a little bit about their predictive abilities. But it's a plant that I think sheds some important light on what might be happening in Wisconsin, because the best way to know what is going to be in your future is to look at what's in the past.
And you spoke with a couple of former workers who are at that Indiana plant. What did they have to say to you?
Well, one of the most striking things that they described was the fact that the facility was being operated with a large percentage of undocumented workers. And of course, this was a little shocking to hear, but this was confirmed by other people that worked there, as well as sort of a consistent flow of messages on job boards. So it's important to note that these were not Foxconn employees, but rather employees that Foxconn used that were channeled through employment agencies.
So in your piece, you describe this as an example. You see it as Foxconn distancing itself from the practice of employing workers who were undocumented.
Well, I think that's the only way to look at it. I mean, clearly when half the workforce didn't show up on certain days when there was a rumor of a immigration raid, I'm pretty sure that the managers there were aware of why that was.
And let's talk about the conditions in the plant. You found out at least one report about the conditions being uncomfortable, is maybe a mild word, in hot, really hot weather, no air conditioning.
Yeah, that was very striking. When I talked to a gentleman who had started at the plant working on the assembly line, and he recalled his most impressionable moment was the memory of working on that line in hot Indiana summers with Foxconn not providing any air conditioning for all the workers.
And did you hear any other stories about what the conditions were like for workers, what morale was like, and why maybe that these two individuals left?
Well, one thing that's striking is that the Foxconn formula is the same everywhere in the world. And we've all heard, I think, about some of the sad news of worker abuse in China, but that's easy to sort of brush off by saying it's a different culture, they have different labor laws. But they have the same basic conditions in plants all throughout Europe, and not maybe that surprisingly, in their Indiana plant as well. And basically, it's a system where people work to a very, very strict routine. There's a measurement for everything they do so that you have X number of seconds to put in each screw into the assembly line, and it's relentless. They love 10, 12-hour shifts, although they do give two 15-minute breaks and a half hour for lunch.
And the workers you talked to at Foxconn, they were no longer employed there. I mean, is it possible that you spoke with disgruntled workers who are more likely to give you a negative picture of things?
Well, we were certainly aware of that possibility, and one of the things that made me more confident is that as I talked to these people, they volunteered the same information about the details, so that it seemed hardly likely to be fabricated or certainly not coincidental.
Now, there's also a Foxconn plant in China, and you write about this. This plant in particular had some, I guess, bad publicity in the beginning. They saw a rash of worker suicides there. What do we know about why workers may have killed themselves in China, and what Foxconn did about it?
Well, there's other sources for this, and it's easy to find if anyone is interested in researching, but the history is pretty appalling of worker abuse in China, and from all evidence, these were just workers who were taken to the limit and jumped off of high-rise dormitories that are on site at some of these factories that employ hundreds of thousands of workers. And as one of my sources said about the Indiana plan, he said they treat, this is they being Foxconn, treats employees as disposable. And perhaps that explains the distress of some of the workers who went to such extremes.
Now, Foxconn has been billed as a chance to bring family-supporting jobs to Wisconsin. Based on what you saw, does that seem like a fair assessment of what you found in terms of the salaries paid?
Well, the type of jobs that I'm describing in Indiana are assembly jobs. And the type of jobs that are likely to be most evident, at least prominent, at the new factory building LCD panels are much higher level jobs, higher skiller jobs, technical jobs that require some college education, likely engineering degrees. But what we did is we took a look at the plant in Sake, Japan, which is virtually identical to the one that they're proposing in Wisconsin. And we said, well, how many of these workers are there in that plant? Because how else will you know how many they're going to need here? And it turns out that plant was operational with 1,000 employees. So that 13,000 just doesn't match up with what you would need to run a plant that requires those kinds of skills.
I'm talking to Lawrence Tabak right now, Madison-based writer. He wrote about Foxconn for Belt Mag magazine, beltmag.com, I should say. And Lawrence, in terms of what to expect, you know, this has been, you know, manufacturing has taken a hit in the Midwest, taken a hit in Wisconsin as well as Indiana, where you were earlier. And I wonder if you think Wisconsin is in a position to be turning away jobs. These might not be jobs that are the knight in shining armor that could come in and rescue Wisconsin's manufacturing industry, but do they have the potential to help families and to turn Wisconsin's economy for the good?
I don't think anyone would gainsay that. And if Foxconn had come to Wisconsin to build a plant without billions of dollars of subsidies, it wouldn't be an issue, would it? The real issue is the cost involved in bringing these jobs and doubt that exists about whether they will multiply themselves into more and more jobs as the economic impact studies that were paid for by Foxconn indicate. It's just not likely that manufacturing is sort of a viral activity in which if you have one, more just start popping up around it.
And talking about opportunities for advancement, we haven't gotten to that subject matter yet. Did you see evidence that there was upward mobility at these plants? I know a concern you raise is, you heard from these workers, is it didn't seem like they were able to move upward in the ranks at Foxconn.
Well, that's something I think that may be shocking to Wisconsin workers if this plant comes to fruition, and that is the prevalence of Asian managers and Asian engineers if they follow the same model they do elsewhere in the world.
Including the U.S.?
Including in the U.S. We discovered that there was a steady flow of visa engineers coming into the Indiana plant. So the opportunities for U.S. workers will be likely limited by that culture that has a preference for a Chinese or Asian-based managers and higher-level executives.
And based on the number of jobs that are expected to arrive in Wisconsin with part of this Foxconn deal, would you expect a proportion of that to be given to people who weren't from Wisconsin, based on what you saw?
Well, there's certainly, I think, a likelihood that there will be a lot of Asian engineers and managers on site. And part of what Wisconsin will be paying for, I don't think people have really realized this, will be the construction project that includes apartment living for those people on site. So that instead of having a lot of higher paid engineers living in the community, they're going to be living on site.
You said you were amazed that people hadn't taken a closer look at some of the places you looked at, the factory in Indiana, in China, in Japan, to get a sense of what was most likely to play out here in Wisconsin. Why do you think it wasn't looked at the way you looked at it?
Well, and you know, that's an excellent question, and one of the ones we raised when we wrote the story. But I think a lot of it has to do with sort of the psychological factors that come into play when you get this excited about a project. Clearly, the image of a slew, thousands of new jobs, was intoxicating to the people involved. And the fact that once you get to that state of excitement, especially in a competitive environment where you're bidding against other states, you start to suffer from what we call confirmation bias, which is you only look for positive things and you have a psychological mental block against negative things.
And it's about to, it looks poised, the Foxconn deal to clear the state legislature. Is this something you expect to pass? And what are you looking for next?
Well, by all accounts, it's going to pass. The question is what will actually happen once ground is broken, if it is broken. And I think that's something that we should all be keeping a very close eye on.
Lawrence, thanks so much for coming into the studio today.
My pleasure.
Lawrence Tabak is a Madison-based writer, and he wrote about Foxconn for BeltMag.com.
Coming up, a look at bipartisanship in the Trump era with a deal on the debt ceiling and hurricane relief, maybe a deal in the works on DACA between President Trump and leading congressional Democrats. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.